radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
FirstFamRadio.com. FirstFamRadio.com.
Are we live? Are we booming? Oh, wow, yo, this is First Fam Radio. This is your boy, Trey Dollars. I'm in the studio with Chill Gizzy. Feel me, the boss of this First Fam Radio movement. We are the industry. You already know what it is. That's the hash.
FirstFamRadio.com. FirstFamRadio.com.
Yeah, what's going on, world, man? We are live. The legendary, the most impactful, you know what I mean? What more can I say, man? We got the legendary Mr. Jerry Hell on the line with us. Are you there, sir?
I'm here, my friends. I'm here.
How you doing, man? Thank you for belling me out once again, man. You always come through for me in crunch time, man. Just want to, you know what I mean, just for the world, for the listeners out there, man, I just want you to just basically tell everybody what you've been up to and what you've been doing.
Well, I'm working on a number of projects now. Believe it or not, I'm working on an album in Nashville, which is one of the best records I've ever heard in my life, with a girl named Leslie Coors Mather. And we cut it in Nashville with all the top musicians in the world. Denny Deonte, who's produced everyone from T.G. Shepherd to Barbara Streisand, Neil Diamond, Paul Anka. He was the producer. I'm co-managing with my old buddy Russ Regan, who I made the original Elton John deal with when he was the original president of Universal Music. So I'm working on that. I'm working on a television series, and basically I've been real busy.
And a lot of stuff been circulating in the media, man, on the NWA film, man. I know you get tired of answering questions about this film and everything, but some of the rumors that's out there is that you didn't like the way that the actor portray you in the movie. Is that correct?
No, that's not either correct or incorrect, because since they didn't ask me to participate, I really thought it was inappropriate for me to get involved or comment on it at all until I see the actual movie. And the only thing I care about is being portrayed properly and correctly.
Definitely.
And then them not just portraying me with some bullshit kind of prejudice, you know, because I'll be there opening night with my lawyers checking it out to make sure that they portray me accurately.
Definitely, man. Now, has there been any, like, conflicts between, like, you and some of the members that, you know, actually had a part in, you know, putting the movie together?
No, I really, you know, I have no interaction with them at all. You know, occasionally I'll run into Dr. Dre on the street. You know, his mother lives just a couple of houses from me, so I see her all the time, and she and I are very friendly. And I haven't seen Ice Cube since the day he left NWA. I never, ever saw him again. Yellow, I think I've seen once or twice, and Ren, I haven't seen since Easy died. So I really have no interaction with them. And, you know, I just do what I do, and since I have no business relationship with them, you know, there's really no reason to have any kind of interaction at all.
Interactions with them, really. I understand that. And all I wanted to ask you, too, was about, I guess it was a former DJ at the time, DJ Speed. He was recently on Hip Hop DX talking about the film, as you just spoke on. And then he kind of, like, you know, shed the light on you, you know, as being, you know, some other type of way. And so, you know, I don't know if you even want to discuss that matter or, you know, or that article.
Sure,
that
I got no problems with that.
Okay.
DJ Speed was a guy that used to take Easy's laundry in. I mean, he did nothing at Ruthless. The thing that sort of bothers me is that he waited 20 years to tell people that he thought I was a snake. Who cares what he thinks? He was just a friend of Easy's, who probably Easy knew. He came by the office once in a while. I see him talking about all these things that he did. He did nothing at Ruthless. And like I say, he was like Easy's gopher. So for some reason that I won't comment because I don't know exactly what happened, Easy sort of stopped having any contact with him around 1992, and then I never saw him again. But, he's talking about this and that. I mean, you know, the guys that were important, you know, were the DOC and cocaine and 187 and Above the Law and the DOC, you know, the DOC, guys like that. This guy was nothing. I don't know, you know, why he's hanging out at the filming. So I guess you got to sort of ask Dre and Cuba. Because he was nothing then and he's nothing now.
Let me ask you some things that you want. Are you currently working on films or doing anything in that arena?
I am, not in the film arena, but in the television series arena, and you'll be seeing lots of really big announcements very, very soon. My director that we just signed a contract with, I think on Monday, is James Sheridan, who did My Left Foot and all the Daniel Day-Lewis movies. And I don't know, he has maybe 3 Academy Awards or something. He lives in Ireland, and I think he did 59 segments of Boardwalk Empire. He's one of the top directors in our business today, in our television business and movie business today. And I'm thrilled to be able to work with him on a project. I'm just thrilled. He's really one of the great directors of all time. He's also going to be an executive producer on this project. And
okay.
Patrick Hughes, who is one of the top intellectual property guys in the world, packaged movies like The Wolf of Wall Street and projects like that. He's also an executive producer, so that's the caliber of gentleman that I'm working with.
And I want to go back to the movie also on the NWA. It was the act name that I think it was Paul Gamadi or something like that. Did you get to see his work playing you at any point, or you haven't seen anything at all?
I haven't seen anything. You know, like I said before, since they didn't ask me to be involved, it was inappropriate for me to,
yeah.
You know, I'm not a groupie that hangs out at the, you know, on the set like a lot of other people did. And I'll see it when it opens in the theater next April or August or whatever. I keep seeing different dates. But,
What? I say you would definitely support it by going to the theater to see it.
Well, I'm going to support it by going to the theater because I want to see how I'm portrayed.
How I'm portrayed.
Yeah, I mean, the only two guys that really knew anything, you know, that really knew everything, one of them, unfortunately, was my business associate who passed away March 26th of 1995, and me. And the rest of, you know, of the people involved were only involved in their own little part of the company, you know. Easy and I were involved in all aspects of the company, and we really had a more comprehensive outlook on things that happened there.
Definitely. My next question I wanted to ask you, I know, we're running short on time, too, and I kind of bugs you, you know what I mean? I hope I didn't offend you, Jay, man, but... I just had to get you on, man, to just get your side of, you know, things, man, you know, because, you know, when stuff get to brewing and everything, you know, everybody don't hear besides of the story, man. I'm glad you're one of the kind of guys that actually tells it, you know, like it is, man, and, you know, don't let the story just be, you know, as is, you know what I'm saying? Yeller, has been in contact with you, because I remember in past interviews you said that he's really trying to get into, like, you know, around Dre and them to get into the movie, you know, so he gets some dates.
I don't remember ever saying that, but I haven't talked to Yellow. A couple of years ago, I ran into him. I think he was DJing in a club called Harper's in the Valley, and one of our old bodyguards, Animal, was doing some kind of cooking thing there or something, and I saw him, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and we were very pleasant and cordial to each other, and, you know, but, you know, I don't talk to him, you know, very often. He's a good guy. I always like Yella. Sometimes I think he doesn't get, you know, any of the credit. You know, he was very instrumental in the early days of NWA when he was producing for High Powered Productions, which was he and Dr. Yeah. Dre. And he got very little credit for that. And he's a very, he was a hard-working, talented guy who Easy and I depended on.
Yeah. Hey, that's what's good. Yo, this is a illustrator. I'm chiming in. How you doing, Jerry Heller?
Okay, man, I'm cool.
It's good. It's good to have you on the show, man. I appreciate
Thank
you calling.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. You know, I'm out here on the West Coast myself, so I grew up on NWA and everything, you know, back, I can remember back in Compton, you know, Easy and you know, like you said, even before, like, with Yella, you know, they kind of slept on him, you know, like, he wasn't doing nothing, he was just an extra person, but he actually
That's
was.
That's the media. That's the way they wrote stories on it, but, you know.
Yeah. So I'm glad you did put that out there for people to know that didn't know, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So the stories that you have heard about the movie, it's been negative totally on your character as far as in the movie or so?
Well, like I say, I don't comment on things that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know people that were on the set. I have no idea, you know, how I'm being portrayed or whatever. I'm not interested. I'll see it when it's on the screen, because until it comes on the screen, it could change. They could change it. You know, a lot of things could happen. I'll just sit back and wait and see with an open mind.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Good to hear. I want to see it myself. I mean, I don't even know if they got Little Easy to play his father, which, you know, they should. I mean,
well, as I've said before, they should have at least allowed him to read for the part of his father.
Yeah.
If they used him, it would all depend on his talent as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, not just a rapper, but as an actor.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think personally that they should have allowed him to read for the part. And if they didn't, then that's disrespectful to his father's memory.
Yes. I feel the same way. When I saw they had the little promo picture of the actors and Ice Cube, or I guess his son is playing him or so. You know, I was like, well, damn, you know, why Eazy-E's son wasn't playing him if Ice Cube's son get to play him, and then I think they got somebody else to play Dre, you know.
Right. I don't know either, you know.
Yeah.
And the guy that they have to play me, Paul Giamatti, who's supposedly a very good actor, you know, he's a little guy, you know.
I'm a big guy.
I'm a big guy, and he's a little guy, you know.
Yeah. So I'm like, with the Aaliyah thing, you know, they got that straight smashed on that one. Like, no, you know, I didn't even see it, but I mean, it was just bad reviews.
Yeah, it was a set. Yeah. That's heard the same thing. I haven't seen it, but you know, I do want to check it out. But, yeah, you know what I mean? I kind of feel Jerry on that, too, Mr. Heller on that, because, you know, like, you do want to see what's going on when somebody say they're being you.
Yeah.
On a picture.
Yeah, I just hope that the movie's good, because, to me, you know, all the people I've been involved with, Elton John, Pink Floyd, Journey, Marvin Gaye, The Four Tops. I mean, all these people that I've been involved with, the most important period of my career and my life was the period from February 3rd, 1987 to March 26th of 1995 was the 8 years I spent with my business associate, Eric Wright. And to me, NWA and the Beatles are probably the two most important musical acts in history. So I would hope that they're being treated, you know, with the kind of respect and stature that they deserve. You know, that's an important group and part of Easy's legacy.
Yeah. I want to know, I know I heard a story a long time ago, but I'm not sure. How did you and E meet? How y'all come to become partners, business partners and so?
Well, I was managing World Class Wrecking Crew, Egyptian Lover, CIA, Bobby, Jimmy and the Critters, J.J. Fad, the L.A. Dream Team, all these groups over at McCullough. And Alonzo, who I believe is one of the most important of the West Coast forces in rap music, he kept saying to me, this guy wants to meet you, this guy wants to meet you, this guy wants to meet you. And finally, I agreed to meet with Eric Wright, and he had promised Alonzo $750 to meet me. And we met in front of McCullough in Old Hollywood on February the 3rd of 1987. Eric got out of his Suzuki Samurai. I think Ren was with him. He reached down in his sock, pulled out a roll of money, and paid Alonzo the $750. And that was it. That was the first time I had ever met Eric Wright.
Wow. That's crazy.
He pulled out a knot.
He put out, you know what I'm saying? He paid for the game, you know that.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Heller, man, just, you know what I mean, too. What was that? What kind of impression did he put on you that day? Like, you know what I mean? What made you, like, you know, say, this guy is serious? Like, what did you
take
money?
Okay, so two things happened. First of all, the first thing he did was pay Alonzo.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I said, okay, what is it that you got that you want me to hear? So he didn't give me a whole lot of hoop-de-doo about I got this and I got that and that's my boy and that's my group. He just handed me a cassette, man. He didn't say one word. He just handed me a cassette.
Dang.
And he played me Straight Outta Compton. And I said, whoa. I mean, not Straight Outta Compton, I mean Boys in the Hood. So
I said, whoa,
this is the most important music. It's sort of a combination of the Rolling Stones, Gil Scott-Heron, and the Black Panthers. And, having been older than these other guys, I was around when the Stones got started. I was around when the Panthers were, and I knew them all. So I had been around then in Gil Scott, the poetry of Gil Scott-Heron. So... Mm. I said to him, you know, what do you call this group? And he said, NWA. And I said, what's it stand for? No whites allowed? And he just looked at me. He just looked at me and laughed, man. And he handed me another cassette. And it started off Straight Outta Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube, and a band called Niggas with Attitudes. And I said, whoa, this is really heavy.
Yeah.
And I said,
at that moment?
Well... Yeah, the music was, you know, there's nothing that compares with Dr. Dre's music. The guy's the most important musical force of the last, he got started around, I met him around in World Class Wrecking Crew around 85.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this guy's the most important musical force since 1985. Look what he's done. World Class Wrecking Crew. Remember that on Turn Out the Lights, he found this girl named Michelle sang, as a background singer, who sang the parts on Turn Out the Lights. Then he did NWA. Then he did the DOC. Then he did the Michelle record, which was the first record before Mary Blige. It's the first time that anyone ever did an R&B record based on hip hop tracks. Then he did The Game. He did 50 Cent. He did Eminem. He did The Chronic. He did Kendrick Lamar. I mean, this guy's career is astonishing. He's an astonishing producer. And forget the fact whether he likes me or I like him or whatever. His talent is astonishing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's so
and you was, like, and you met these guys like years and years ago, man. That's why I'm asking you that question, man, is because, you know, like from that time on, like did you know it was gonna have that much of an impact on the game?
Yeah, I knew. I knew the first time I heard Boys in the Hood, because remember now, I was a 40-year-old Midwestern white Jewish guy listening to guys. Boys in the Hood are always hard, you know. You keep talking that shit, I'm gonna pull your card. Ain't nothing in life but to be legit, you know. I said, wait a second now. If I can relate to that and I can understand it, I mean, the rest of the world's going to relate to it and understand it. So I come from a totally different background, and I thought it was the most important music that I had heard since, like I said, since the Rolling Stones.
Man,
definitely.
That's crazy.
I was just about to say that because, like, you know, like, I don't even see that today. Like, a lot of artists today, man, are just coming in and they just overnight, like, tomorrow their career is over. You know what I mean? Like, let me ask you your opinion on that, Jerry. You know, a lot of the executives compared to you years ago, you know what I mean? Would they be able to compete with you?
I'm not understanding your question yet. Maybe
I'm saying... All right, let me reiterate. Well, I'm saying a lot of the executives, like a lot of people that sign in town today, you know what I mean?
Not to cut you off, Chill, but I think what he's trying to say is the artists today, would they be worth your time? You know, you as a, what you was dealing with as far as management, overseeing a label and everything.
That's much easier for me to understand. Thank you. So I think that there's always going to be good artists. So while I think there's good artists, I don't think that anybody since Public Enemy and NWA really have had the quality of message and music that would interest me anymore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like during disco. I like disco. I like KC and the Sunshine Band. I like Donna Summer. I like disco artists, but I never thought disco had any validity as a movement. Most recently, reggaeton. Okay? I think Daddy Yankee is cool. You know, he's the best of those artists, but I don't think reggaeton meant anything, and that's why when K-Day switched to reggaeton, it only lasted for like 3 months or something. So, you know, right now, I think that, you know, we're back to where it's always. There's two musical movements that have always existed in our society for hundreds of years. One is music from the church, man. Gospel, R&B. Whatever you want to call it, it started in the church.
Man.
Okay? And that music is still as important today as it's ever been.
Yeah.
The other music that is very much like gospel, very much like church music, except for the drums, is country western. I think country western is, along with gospel, are the two mainstreams now of American music. So that's what I'm working on now. I just worked 7.5 months on this country western album in Nashville with this girl, Leslie Kors Mather, who I think has one of the great voices of all time. The album is an incredible album produced by my friend Denny Deonte, and I think that it will change the whole complexion of the music business. So, you know, I'm just like anybody else. Sometimes I like this and sometimes I like that, but basically what I like is quality. And I love the quality of Leslie's music, and that's what got me interested. I don't hear anything now as far as hip-hop is concerned, as far as rap, hip-hop will always be here because hip-hop is more than just rap. Hip-hop is graffiti art. Hip-hop is painting subways. I mean, hip-hop is a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But I don't hear anything that has interest me of the quality of NWA and Public Enemy. NWA sociologically, Public Enemy politically, I think they're the two most important gangster rap groups of all time. And, you know, I certainly give them their props.
Definitely. What's the reason you think that a lot of that is not being played today?
I just think that time has passed that by. And I think that NWA and Public Enemy were so good that it just... nobody could compete with what they said. They said it so articulately and so perfectly that nobody could match it. The other great West Coast gangster rap group were Above the Law.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm glad you said that for the radio, because I was reading an article and the brother from Co-187 and them, they were saying how they wasn't getting credit for a lot of production that they were doing behind the scenes.
187 taught Dre lots of his recording techniques, and that, you know, that sound, that grating kind of siren sound in the background, that was really Hutch's sound, you know? So I think if there wouldn't have been NWA, that Above the Law would have been the biggest of the West Coast gangster rap groups. I mean, you know, Hutch and those guys were great, man. And, you know, I'm proud that they recorded for us. Now, personally, I think the greatest rapper that ever lived was the DOC. I've never heard anybody except Rakim that could rap like the DOC. Unfortunately, he got in this terrible accident and, you know, it screwed up his vocal cords, and he couldn't really rap to the level that he had done before that. But nobody, no one does it better. It's one of the great rap albums of all time, and he certainly is the best rapper that I've ever heard.
Yes.
And all of those groups were on Ruthless, man. Except for, of course, Public Enemy, you know.
That's true. I mean, I'm glad that Ruthless came along and did it, because, I mean, if they didn't, I wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't be banging the music that we bang now, you know, or just having that legacy, you know. Like you said, at the end of the day, like a person or don't like a person, get along, whatever, it's what they did for the history, for the culture, you know. And I appreciate it, because, I mean, I remember when that happened to DOC, I was going to Charles Drew at the time, and they used to play K-Day, and It was like a death in the family. Like, when it happened to us, like, damn, you know, and he just started his career, you know, and I mean, and I'm like I said, I'm glad you did come on the show and pay, you know.
Well, I was there. Easy and I were there the night of his accident.
Yeah.
It was right by DeSoto on the 101, and they took him to Kaiser Hospital. He didn't have insurance.
Yeah.
And I had just paid his car insurance the day before, so he did have car insurance. So as soon as he was stabilized, we had him taken to Cedars, which is certainly one of the great hospitals in the world. He had a suite at Cedars. Easy flew his mother and his aunt up from Texas, got them a suite at the Sofitel right across from the hospital, where they stayed the whole time he was there. And Easy paid for all of that out of his pocket. The DOC was closing escrow on a house, and I put up the $62,000 out of my pocket to put the down payment on the house. But, of course, he did pay me back. And when he got out of the hospital, over the years, he did pay me back. He's an honorable guy. And... you know, so, you know, Easy, his legacy doesn't include, I mean, what a great man he was. I mean, He took care of children. He took 500 kids to the Black Rodeo every year. I mean, this guy was an incredible guy.
Yeah,
and he doesn't, you know, and that's why I wrote my book, was to protect his legacy. You know, I still say that of all the things that people ask me and I ask them, there's nobody that I've ever met, ever, that can't tell me exactly where they were the first time they heard Straight Outta Compton, man. It's the most important record of the second half of the 20th century.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, the Beatles, the Stones, I mean, Straight Outta Compton is the most important album of the second half of the 20th century.
We definitely want to get Jerry, if you don't mind giving us a drop for the station, man. I'm glad I had this opportunity to have you on the show again.
Well, I've been on your show before, man, and anytime you need me, just let me know.
On the west side, of this, man, this is a big thing, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay, great, man.
Appreciate that. Before you go, I wanted to know, I saw you did something on YouTube, I guess a few years back. You was talking about how, you know, the complications are easy and his death and everything, and how you didn't believe what they put out there, and how you felt that it was a conspiracy behind his death. You still feel that way, or is that mentioned in the book or so?
Well, I think what I've said over the years is this. I was never satisfied with the explanations that were given to me regarding the circumstances around his death.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people profited from his death, and a lot of people didn't. So if it were me, I would look at who profited and who didn't profit and make my own decisions, because I've never been satisfied with the circumstances surrounding his death. I mean, we all look at Magic Johnson now, who's not even HIV positive anymore.
Yeah.
Eazy-E was a rich man.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
There is no reason for him to have died in that short period of time with the resources that he had available to himself. I mean, like I say, Magic Johnson isn't even HIV positive anymore. So I've never been satisfied with those circumstances. But not being a family member or anything, I had no standing. I mean, if it were me, I would have had an autopsy. There's a lot of things that would have been done that weren't done.
Yeah.
I
did come in on the end of, you were saying you did you were working with the guy who does Boardwalk Empire and everything. Are they going to bring that back? I haven't checked my local cable in a while, but I mean, I know when it was on, it was a real dope series. So I didn't know.
It's a dope series, but you know, Scorsese, who is the executive producer along with Mark Wahlberg, Scorsese is doing an HBO show now with Mick Jagger. And the guy that wrote it, Terrence English, is writing that show. And James Sheridan, who directed it, is doing my show. So I think that there will be probably no new segments. That was a spectacular series, and it was well-written, well-directed, well-produced, and extremely popular. And, you know, along with Breaking Bad and all the other great shows that, you know, that we watch. It certainly was one of the most important shows, you know, of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I watched it every week. I loved it. I loved Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I loved it too. Yo, I know you got places to go and stuff, and you got some stuff to do. I would love for you to go on and, if you can, just give us a shout out to the station and whatnot.
Okay, tell me what you want. Tell me what you want me to say.
Well, you know, this is First Fam West Radio with your boy, Miss.
This is what?
First Fam West Radio.
First Fam
West Radio.
Okay.
With Mr. Illustrator.
Okay. Whenever you're ready. Hi, this is Jerry Heller, and this is First Fam West Radio with Mr. Illustrator, the voice of the people. Everybody listen to it.
For sure. Man, I appreciate you, man.
All right, man, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Appreciate it, Mr. Heller.
Okay, so long.
So long.
There you have it, y'all. You know what I mean? Mr. Legendary Jerry Heller, man. You know what I mean? Dropping by, man. He wanted to speak on a few things, man. We spoke on, man. He's working on the new album, TV series as well. Man, I just want to, shout out Mr. Heller for coming on again, man. You know what I mean? He always come through on the crunch time for us, man. And he did it for the West Side tonight, y'all. You know what I'm saying? That's for First Fan West Radio, man. Tune in, Mr. Illustrator. The whole, DJ Chuck T Massacre, man.
Yeah.
Trey Dollars, man. Everybody, man, here at First Fan West, man. You know what I'm saying? So, I just want to, send that shout out and that love to Mr. Heller, man. You know what I'm saying? He be keeping it G, you know what I'm saying? Every time he see us on, man, he be like, he shout us out, man.
You gotta do a production.
Yeah. Yeah, I do appreciate him coming on, man. I mean, he answered some questions I had over the years, being a hip-hop head and everything. So, I'm glad he did, give us a chance. And he didn't hold no bars, He just went straight to it. So that was tight, Yeah, we doing it live tonight, man. I just want to shout out everybody out there for tuning in. Make sure y'all check out our website. That's www.firstfamradio.com.
Firstfamradio.com. Firstfamradio.com.
Yeah. So yeah, man. We gotta
keep it West real quick. Quick, man. We gotta, I ain't mean to be cut you off, man, but we gotta take him into a song, man. We gonna talk about. Yeah. West Side.
Ain't a six folk running with the risk in it. Real cheese from the hood and the rest of the net. The gang. Was your fresh white teeth in the
on the corner, but you're hanging with me. Nice, yeah. Dub, I ain't see. Yeah. I'm a Compton people. Stand the fuck up. Yeah. They calling it black genocide. Jumping the ride. Not returning the shots. Might fuck on the pride. And my eyes open wide. How they lie to my peeps. Snitch niggas walk to work, then rolling the sweep. How my mom strike to keep her baby boy out the streets. Enemies one time like they wore white sheets. Is gangsters out there? No wonder. Not before long the hood had me under. And I love Croker Sacks with my khaki slacks. Compton, Alameda, east side of the tracks. Homies with their dope packs and they love getting wet. Hood rats fucking every other G in the set. I got the dice, homies. Place y'all bets, and I'm breaking you fools more money to get. Let this be a warning, real G's only. You giving us a bad rap, you fucking phony. Jill. Getting money, pulling straps, riding low, peeling caps, holding gang packs. Jill. Stay living like gangsters. Getting money, pulling straps, riding low, peeling caps, holding gang packs. Jill. Stay living like gangsters.
Look at
you ain't a gangster. Use as fake as your word, and you'll run shit is the truth I heard. You ain't never been courted in, tripped to the pen. Drive by in the unmarked tie spin. We don't roll with security, just niggas from the block. You the first one we sock, then draw the Glock. Turn up the pop, and it's got me ready. One hand on the steering wheel, holding steady. Block, you dead before hitting the concrete. Make sure two more pops, the mission complete. Send a message to your head, motherfucker in charge. West Coast Compton, original at large. Ooh, I'ma like it just like the barge. G,
get ready, you getaways in the garage. Dust off the rest of your entourage for spitting them whack bars dead outside your car.
And it's just so rough with the rim spinning, real deep from the hood.
Been for a G, can I live sucker free? All I wanna do is flee to the city.
Playing games with my money, playing Russian roulette. You rather take your own life before you go and do that. We throwing bands in the club, it's coming down like confetti. 10 steps ahead of you bitches, I got on next year Giuseppe. He in that trap like Mickey Mouse, got my all in his mouth, that's his cracks all in my couch. Got his racks all in my house. Ba doo da playing my pussy in the road, I'm sipping on road. Ba doo da cause he fuck with me, she feel some type of way. Shout out, niggas, rich, homie, all my niggas, rich, homie. Benji's all in my birth, bitches, diamonds all in my arm, though. Shout out all my birth, you coach, ho, keep calm, though.
Sometimes I look at my son, then I picture my father. When he looked at his son, then understood his story. I could stand on a strip, flip 10 million zips. Oh, I could poly with Puff and make a 10 million flip. I've been a boss and you know it. Make a million, I blow it. I had a dream in a sail in July, I was snowing. When it caught me a bird, mama pray for my blessing. Niggas fuck with my nerves, talk fast with some questions. First spray was the ball, word fair was the verdict. Fit that meal and dessert, but the block was deserted. I'm talking 500 murders, about 100 I knew. I'm talking 500 cases, about 400 that blew. You lost it all in a day, but you've been grinding it long. I mean, you bought out the bar, and got no money for lawyers. That's suicide.
Come for the chick chopper, best believe your ass gon' die. I stay killin' shit, I stay clean, I stay fresh to death when I'm clean. And this outfit a bitch got on, so come out to 2016. Stuff my pussy purse with them greens. My ice bulk and I lean, and my grind harder than yours, and my team killin' your team. Not gonna roll my weed, cause you never do it like me. I'm killin' shows and I'm slayin' hoes, ex friends and the queen bee. So you never know what to do with it. This flow here, that ain't used to it. I'm turned up without a boost kit. And I chop them down, that's true shit. This suicide so clearly, you don't say shit, cause you fear me. I'm heavy, bitch, you ain't touch me. And my Tony voice,
don't talk to me.
Yeah!
The day they come in, then you know they won't hang. But we get that money, who cares what them say? You send shots at my way, we aim at your face. I hear you for by you commit suicide.
Fuck that! I don't need that shit in my life. What do you think I am, huh? What do you think, I don't fucking learn like you? Don't fuck with me! Right, you stupid fuck! Cover your mouth! Yeah! Stop! Who's the thing you fuck with, huh?
Hey, yo, live from Murderville, Mount Vernon, New York, DJ Chuck Massacre, First Fan West Radio, grinding the street, and I'm chilling with my boy, Mr. Illustrating Crazy D. You know how we do. West Side!
We are poor.
Do we live that bad?
Well, let's face it, Florida, we don't live that good. And if you was to make a list of all the things that people want to be, poor would be right down at the bottom of the list. Just about sick and dead.
Where it's at, niggas love it when it's sunny. Jeans, Mike, these kids, I'm missing for the money. Superstore, four crush the jury by the pound. West Coast, fuck, I love it how we put it down. Streets calling for the fireballers, drugs, money, lies. Holes off the wire, gang saucy, press the fire. Hoods and block, people murder, crime, race, streets. Love it or hate it, every day the shit is repeating. Victim at his worst, God, he made the nigga hustle. Bitch in your pocket, break bread or struggle. So we sell they soul on the TV. The gold yelling, mama, what you need? Money, liquor, and weed. Caught Molly, sleep, LA got it, don't slip. Molly, wopty and dip, trap, bubble, and flip. Nigga, stick to the script, hustle whore for your paper. Shamrock is your neighbor. Fuck your bitch, see you later.
LA is the city where they stay.
Looking for a come up on Crenshaw, driving fast with my killers on the way to the